Our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Welcome to all of you who are gathered here for this week of prayer for Christian unity, being hosted this year by Community Church Hong Kong in Shenhuan. I'm the senior pastor, Reverend Steve Galtney. We also welcome those joining us via Radio 4. As we come together to praise God, to pray for unity among the churches of Hong Kong and around the world. Those leading this service of worship are ministers and members from different churches in the city. Our preacher today is Father Jovito Dallas of the Missionary Society of St. Columba. As we gather this evening, we thank God for our Christian heritage, and for God's liberating and saving action in human history. The resources for this year's Week of Prayer for Christian Unity have been prepared by the Churches of the Caribbean. The history of Christianity in that region contains a paradox. On the one hand, the Bible was used by colonizers as justification for the subjugation of the original inhabitants of these lands, along with others who were transported from Africa, India, and China. Many people suffered extermination. Others were put in chains, enslaved, and subjected to unjust labor conditions. On the other hand, the Bible became a source of consolation and liberation for many who suffered at the hands of the colonizers. Today, the Bible continues as a source of consolation and liberation. It inspires Christians around the world to address the conditions that currently undermine human dignity and quality of life. As the iron chains of enslavement fall from our hands, a new human bond of love and communion emerges in the human family, expressing the unity prayed for by our Christian communities. Let us together have the invocation of the Holy Spirit. With the Christians of the Caribbean, let us call upon the Holy Spirit to set our hearts on fire as we pray for the unity of the church. Unite our servants in the bond of unity.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Teach us to pray.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Liberate us from the slavery of sin.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Help us in our weakness.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Restore us as your children.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Let's continue in our prayers. We have not received a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Let us call upon the mercy of God, confident in the saving power of God's right hand. From structures that undermine human dignity and enforce new forms of enslavement, deliver us, O God. Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
From the decisions and deeds that impose poverty, marginalization, or discrimination on our brothers and sisters, deliver us, O God. Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
From the fear and suspicion that separate us from each other and place limits on hope and healing, deliver us, O God. Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
The Lord is our strength and our might and has become our salvation. May God, who has redeemed us, lead into the abode of holy.
Amen. Let's rise and be singing, No Longer Slaves.
You would rather be with a melody.
Till all my fears.
You may be seated. Redeem us, O God, from human oppression.
That we hear your voice.
Make your face shine upon your servants.
And teach us your statutes.
The reading of the Old Testament is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 1 to 21. And Moses and the Israelites sung this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider has sprung into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my might, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he cast into the sea. His picked officers were sank into the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrew your adversary. You sent out your fury. It consumed them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the water piled up. The floods stood up in the heap. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in splendor, doing wonders? You stretch out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. In your steadfast love, you led the people whom you redeemed. You guided them by your strength to your holy abode. The peoples heard, they trembled. Pangs seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom were dismayed. Trembling seized the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan melted away. Terror and dread fell upon them by the might of your arm. They became still as a stone until your people, O Lord, passed by, until the people whom you acquired passed by. You brought them in and planted them on the mountain of your own possession, the place, O Lord, that you made your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, that your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. When the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his chariot driver went into the sea, the Lord brought back the water of the sea upon them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand. And all the women went out after her with tambourine and with dancing. And Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea. Listen, and you will be set free.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Psalm 118, verses 5 through 7 and 13 through 24. Our response to the psalm will be, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called in the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. With the Lord on my side, I do not fear. What can mortals do to me? The Lord is on my side to help me. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me.
O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
I was pushed hard, so that I was falling. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever.
Please stand to greet.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
A reading from the Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say who touched me?" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, we were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them no one should know this and told them to give her something. Listen, and you will be set free.
Thanks be to God.
I said a Mass once in the Catholic Center, and after the Mass, the guy came to me and said, "Oh, Father, you have a better voice." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "It wanted me to go to sleep." So if you feel like that, don't worry. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. These are not my words. These were the words of a people who just experienced the saving power of God as they made their way across the sea, safe and unharmed. The story of Moses and the Israelites passing through the dry land in the middle of the sea always fascinated me ever since I was a child. I could no longer remember how many times I saw it on TV, especially during the Holy Week. It fascinated me because it shows the power of God. It tells about the love of God for His people. It tells how faithful God had been to them, even if they were not that faithful to God and to the covenant. But still, no matter what, God continuously cared for them. Caring. It is a quality commonly ascribed to this God who journeyed with the Israelites, to this God who journeys with us. It was and it has always been God's nature to care for God's people, for God's creation. And it's the same God that Jesus showed to those around him, the God who truly cares. The case of the hemorrhaging woman, for instance, who cared for her? No one. Now that she was destitute after spending all her wealth on medicines and treatments, she was nobody. In fact, with her condition, she was considered an outcast. The pain she had to endure is very hard to imagine. The pain not only caused by her illness, but also by how the society treated her. For 12 years, she must have been ostracized by her own community for fear that they might become impure, for fear that they would be contaminated and would make them unfit to participate in their religious practices, such as what we're doing. She suffered not only from her disease, but also from the looks with disdain by the people around her, by their avoidance, by their indifference. I used to visit persons with HIV/AIDS in the Philippines as part of my ministry when I was still a deacon. And it was tough. It took time for me to gain their trust and confidence. It was only after a series of visits when one day a man in his 30s approached me and confided to me how devastating it was when he was diagnosed with such disease. He then began talking about himself and how he got the disease. Then he went on to tell me, "You know, what I suffered most from is not the disease itself. It is how people treated me with contempt, how the people looked at me with disdain. Even my own family, they never visited me here. They were ashamed of me. And that's what's killing me." I was speechless. To be hated by the community is one thing. To be disowned by your own family is another. For him, it was more painful, almost unbearable. I wonder how the hemorrhaging woman felt the people's indifference. She must have suffered the same fate as he did. But I saw something different from this woman. Something in her just never wanted to give up. Something inside her drove her to follow this man whom she heard to be a healer, whom she believed had the power to make her whole again. She did not mind the crowd. She did not mind what they would say. She did not allow the chain of indifference to keep her from reaching out to the one whom she believed had the power to break it. And Jesus did not fail her. The moment she touched his clothes, power had gone out from him, and she was healed. The chain of fear and shame was shattered. The chain of indifference loosened up. When she admitted to Jesus that it was her who touched his clothes, she began to tell the whole truth. Listening eagerly to her story, Jesus must have been touched by her courage. He must have been touched by her faith. He must have been moved by her desire to be free again. That then he addressed her, "Daughter, daughter." With this address, I believe she became not just part again of the community where she used to belong, but to a larger family, to God's family, where sinners are welcome, where sinners are looked at not with disdain, but with mercy and compassion. Because in this family,
God hears. Jesus cares. I can imagine the woman could have uttered in a loud voice, "Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power." For that's what she experienced. The Lord's majestic power that freed her at last from hiding in fear and shame for years. The Lord's power that broke the chain of indifference she experienced and suffered from for 12 long years. Yes, she was pushed to the periphery because of her illness. However, pushing herself into the crowd, despite being pressed hard by the unwinding crowd, she found the Lord, and the Lord found her. Then she went away in peace. But not for Jesus. People did not leave him in peace yet. With the healing of the hemorrhaging woman, he was met with the disturbing news that the daughter of Jairus just passed away. But he assured the leader of the synagogue to be not afraid, to just believe. Jairus had just witnessed a healing miracle. He just witnessed the healing power of Jesus. There was no doubt in his heart that he had come to the right person. He had come to the true healer. This must have given him hope for his daughter. So he hung on to what faith he had in Jesus. And with that, he witnessed another miracle. Jesus took her daughter by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," little girl, get up. And the girl, 12 years of age, got up and began to walk about. Wow, how Jesus cared. Yes, these are stories about caring. Yahweh caring for the Israelites, Jesus caring for the woman and the girl and her father Jairus, Jesus caring for his daughter, and us caring to hear the stories. You're not bored of me yet, right? Thanks for the care, brothers and sisters. But if you're already bored and sleepy, allow me to say, Talitha kum. Though you're not little girls nor little boys. On this week of prayer for Christian unity, we hear the words of Jesus echoing in our midst. Talitha kum. Powerful words of command to get up, to rise from our deep slumber of not caring enough, to rise from our indifference to the plight of our migrants who long for a deep understanding and acceptance, to rise from our self-centeredness at times that blind us from seeing the needs of our neighbors, to rise above our anger and suspicion to those who don't look and talk like you and me, to rise from sleeping too much in our comfort zone that hinders us from taking risk and be the people God wants us to be, caring, loving, and forgiving. I am reminded of my experience with my younger brother when he was still a toddler. I was fond of him, especially when he was still learning to walk. Now, he fights with me, so I'm not fond of him. A child learning his first steps is really a sight to behold. Part of his routine was this: standing up with his trembling knees and with my mother holding his hands, I would beckon him to come to me. My mother then would release his hands and he would try to step forward very awkwardly. At first, he would fall. Then, he would fall again. Later on, when he could manage to make 2 to 3 steps, everybody would be applauding him, and of course, to his great delight. That image of my little brother standing up and learning hard to make his first steps can be our own image of getting up, of learning to walk again with Christ. It is possible that we may fall at first, then we might fall again, since our knees would be too weak from not being used wisely for quite some time. When Jairus' daughter was brought back to life from deep slumber, I believe that she got up slowly, not abruptly, before she began to walk about. Jesus doesn't expect us to get up as if awakened by a nightmare. You know, when you had a nightmare and you just walk up abruptly and shout, that's not the way. No. He expects us to get up slowly before we begin to walk again. And as he told Jairus, so he is telling us, do not fear, only believe. Holding our hands now, Jesus commands us, get up. Get up and break the chain of division and indifference around you. Destroy the chain of anger and shame. Break the chain of fear and suspicion. Do not fear, only believe. And with the breaking of all these chains that keep us from caring for one another, he invites us all to form a new kind of chain, a chain of love and unity. This chain of love and unity that goes beyond culture and status in life, as Jesus showed us. This chain of love and unity that crosses boundaries, that reaches out to those who are in the periphery of the society. This chain of love and unity that truly cares. I visited Cambodia lately, a beautiful country with interesting temples and water villages to visit. People are courteous, helpful, and simple. One day, an unusual sight caught my attention while I was walking down the street. On a street corner, a group of men and women were playing the local indigenous musical instruments. I noticed that some men and some women have only one leg, while others have no legs at all. On a piece of cardboard was written, "We are victims of landmines." So I stopped for a while and listened to their music, and I was moved. I could hear their silent voices in the melodious music they created. Voices that, for me, say like in our psalm today, I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. Yes, they fell, losing their legs, but the Lord helped them, and they are now rejoicing by playing music to God. On this week of prayer for unity, we Christians are invited to care, to truly care for our brothers and sisters, the troubled youth, the lonely elderly, the persons with disabilities, and those brothers and sisters of us who have fallen, oftentimes not by their own faults, but by the various chains of enslavement that are mostly man-made. Rules, regulations that limit our capacity to live life in full. May we all be freed from whatever chains of unfreedom, so that in one voice, all together, we could praise God. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Indeed.
And having heard the word of God, let us now affirm our faith together. So I invite you to stand with me as we affirm together our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, from the very Lord he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. I'd like to invite up the readers from the Unity Church. The prayers of the people. With thanks for our liberation from slavery to sin, let us place our needs before the Lord, asking Him to shatter the chains that enslave us, and to join us instead with bonds of love and communion.
We let your people through the water of the rescue and redeem them, but we will us now, and free us from all forms of slavery and from everything that obscured human dignity.
May your righteousness, Lord, that we may live.
God of abundance, in your goodness you provide for all our needs. Do with us now. Help us to rise above selfishness and greed, and give us the courage to be agents of justice in the world.
May your righteousness, Lord, that we may live.
God of love, you created us in your image and have redeemed us in Christ. Be with us now. Empower us to love our neighbor and to welcome the stranger.
May your righteousness, Lord, that we may live.
God of peace, you remain faithful to your covenant with us, even when we are wandering from you. And in Christ, you have reconciled us to yourself. Be with us now. And put a new spirit and a new heart within us that we may rejoice boundless. Reject violence and instead be servants of your peace.
Lay your hands on us, Lord, that we may live.
God of glory, you are all-powerful, yet in Jesus you chose to make your home in human family, and in the waters of baptism have adopted us as your children. Do with us now, and help us to remain faithful to our family commitments and our communal responsibilities, and to strengthen the bonds of communion with our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Lay your hands on us, O Lord, that we may live.
God, one in three persons, in Christ, you have made us one with you and with one another. Be with us now, and by the power and consolation of the Holy Spirit, free us from the self-centeredness, arrogance, and fear that prevents us from striving towards the full, visible unity of your church.
Let us join hands, bound not by chains, but by the love of Christ that has been poured into our hearts, and pray to the Father in the words of Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thou is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you." Let us greet one another with the sign of peace. Please stand.
Peace.
Peace.
Let me invite all ordained ministers present here who so wish to join us in imparting the final blessing. So if you would come forward. Redeemed by the right hand of God and unified in the one body of Christ, let us go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, because the Lord has anointed us to bring news to the poor, to proclaim news to the captives, to cover our sight with light, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We'd like to thank you all for joining us for the 2018 Unity Service. As you depart, we will be collecting an offering for the Christian organization called STOP. STOP stands for Stop Trafficking of People. STOP is an initiative under the Vine Community Services Limited that works in partnership with the local community to end human trafficking in Hong Kong. We hope that you will generously give to this vital mission to put an end to modern slavery. So now as we close our service together, let us close with the hymn, Community of Christ.
Again, representing the Catholic Diocese of Hong Kong on the advisory board of the English Religious Broadcasting Ministry. I'd like to thank the Community Church Hong Kong as the host in providing the venue, help plan the service, and provide refreshments. And they will be all awaiting you out that side door. Don't go that door, this door. We thank sincerely Pastor Steve and Pastor Wade, Johnny for leading the music, all the staff and members of Community Church who made the service run smoothly. And we thank especially Father Jovito Dalles for delivering the sermon. Thank you. All the leaders, readers, service leaders, and those assisting the service. The Hong Kong Christian Council and Catholic Diocesan Ecumenical Commission for co-organizing tonight. The service has been recorded and will be aired on Sunday, January the 28th, on RTHK Radio 4 at 11:05 in the morning. We recognize Ms. Tina Chan of STOP, Mr. Tom Franz, CEO of Vine Community Services Limited, Pastor Tony Reed of the Vine Church. Please stand. Recognize Elder Dr. Wong Po Ki of the Hong Kong Council, Christian Council. We recognize Father Peter Leung, Rita Kong, and all the members of the Cathedral Catholic Diocese Commission. All are welcome to stay for a time of fellowship. And STOP, we'll have a display table outside so you can get more information. And thanks to all of you for attending this Ecumenical Unity Service. May God bless you all. Amen.